Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chagiga Daf Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With our new Masichta, Chagiga, we will be discussing the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. The Mishnah refers to this as mitzvahs Re'iyah, based, of course, on the Pasuk of the Sholosh Pomim Bashano Yera'echo Zuchurcha. This is a mitzvah involving the coming to the Beis HaMikdash and the offering of sacrifices. The primary sacrifices are the Olas Re'iyah and the Shalmei Chagiga. On the side, under our Nosei heading, the Nosei is the topic heading, we've written points that will be covered in the next few lines of the Gemara. In this case, we'll be referring to the Mishnah. Mi chayav b'mitzvahs Re'iyah. Who is obligated in this particular mitzvah? The mitzvah of Re'iyah, which takes place 3 times a year, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. And Esahu, another point that will be discussed, is Esahu koton shepotur. What kind of minor? The Mishnah makes reference to the ones exempt from the mitzvah of Re'iyah include the minor. What is the age or characteristic of the minor shepotur that will be exempt? And we will see this is a machlokes, Beis Shammai, and Beis Hillel. Another machlokes between them is bekamo koinim. How much is one expected to spend on an Olas Re'iyah, on the Olah sacrifice, and the Shalmei Chagiga, the Shlomim offering that is required on the holidays? That too is a Machlokes, Beis Shammai, and Beis Hillel. We now turn to the Mishnah, Hakol Chayovim B'Re'iyah. All are obligated in the mitzvah of Re'iyah. Chutz Michiresh, with the exception of a deaf mute, shoita, an imbecile, the kotnei minor, the tumtum, a person whose organs of gender are covered up. In other words, you cannot determine whether this is a male or a female. The androgynous, a person who has a dual gender appearance. And the noshim, women. Ve'avodim she'enom meshuchrorim, and slaves that have not been freed. Hachiger, a lame individual. Vasuma, a blind individual. Vachoila, an infirmed individual. Vehazokein, and an elderly person. Umi she'eno yochol la'lois baraglov, and someone who is incapable of rising up to the Beis HaMikdash on foot. Ezehu Koton, what is determined or classified as a minor? Kol she'eno yochol lirkov al ksefov shel ovi velalos mishalayim laharabayis. Divrei Beis Shammai. This is the first opinion, hence we have a number one. Any child that is so young that he's incapable of riding on the shoulders of his father for the distance of rising from the city of Jerusalem to the Temple Mount. Ubeis Hillel Omrim, Kol Sheino Yochol Lechois Biyodoi Shel Aviv, Thalalois Mishalayim Lahar Bayis. Beis Hillel's exemption for a minor continues longer than that of Beis Shammai. A child that, even though he's able to ride on his father's shoulders, nevertheless will be exempt up till the point he can start walking on his own while holding his father's hand. So that any child that's incapable of holding his father's hand and walking from Jerusalem to the Temple Mount will be exempt. Shenemar Shalosh Rigolim. The Pasuk refers to the pilgrimage times as the three regalim. So in describing them, the Torah is concerned with someone who is capable of walking on foot to Jerusalem. Now, there's a point that Rashi adds in the upper part of the narrow lines, Shalosh Regalim, Haroi Lalos Baraglov Chayev Chiv HaKosev. The individual who is capable of walking by foot is that individual that the Torah requires. The Kevan de Gadol Potter Min HaTorah, anyone who is incapable of walking on foot will be exempt by the Torah. Any adult, a gadol is an adult, any adult that's incapable of walking on foot from Yerushalayim to the Temple Mount, to the Beis HaMikdash, he's exempt from the Torah standpoint. Katan lav bar chinuchu, the equivalent of a katan, of a minor who is incapable of doing that, is not in the realm of chinuch. He's not considered educable, trainable in this area. So he will be exempt. So in order for a katan, a minor, to be obligated, albeit rabbinically, but to be obligated to go to the Beis HaMikdash three times a year, he would have to be that kind of katan that if he were an adult, he would be capable of walking. We continue in the Mishnah. Beis Shammai Oimrim Horiyo Shtei Kesef Chagiga Mo Kesef. These are the two kinds of sacrifices that one has to bring on the thrice-year pilgrimage. According to Beis Shammai, the expense or the amount you have to pay for the Olas Ri'ya, the Ola is a type of sacrifice that's completely consumed in the fire of the altar. It is one that you have to pay 2 kesef. That's an amount of money, 2 pieces of silver, but it was as Rashi says, it's a Shtei Mo'a Kesef. Mo'a is a type of type of coinage, which is a third of a maw is a third of a dinar. So you're expected to pay 2 kesef for the chagiga, and according to Beis Shammai, the Re'iya is 2 kesef, and the chagiga is mo'a kesef. So you have a discrepancy in how much you have to pay, so that according to Beis Shammai, the more expensive of the two sacrifices is the Re'iya, the Shalmei Chagiga being less expensive. Beis Hillel Omrim Re'iya Mo'a Kesef, and you can see with Beis Hillel, he has an opposite approach, where the Re'iya is a Mo'a Kesef, and the Chagiga is Shtei Kesef. Just a minor correction, the Rashi points out that the Shtei Kesef that is required in Beis Shammai's case for the Olas Ri'ya is a third of a dinar. The 2 Mo'al Kesef is a third of a dinar. Now, we continue with the Gemara, but before we do so, we glance at the side where we see a Nosei Mivneh heading. The Nosei, as we mentioned earlier, is a topic heading, and at times we combine that with a structural note. Here you can see we have a triangle featured, and it highlights the word La'asuye. These are triangles that represent Tshuvos, responses, La'she'ela, to the question the Gemara will ask, Hakul La'asuye Mai. The Mishnah opened up with an interesting expression. It said, everyone is obligated in the mitzvah of Ri'ya, and then the Mishnah went on to present a rather long list of exemptions. So we would like to know, as is the case in many Mishnayos throughout the Shas, when a Mishnah opens up with the word kol or hakol, there's an inclusion type word, and that reflects an interest on the part of the Mishnah to include more than that which you would think on your own. So hakol lasuye mai, who is being included by this statement of Hakul in the opening of the Mishnah? when the Mishnah says everyone is obligated in Re'iyah, including whom? Answer, and you'll notice that, as we said, we have three triangles. In effect, these are answers that are in a build-up form. So, first stage, La'asuye mi shechetzio eved v'chetzio ben chorin. We're including in the list of those that are obligated is someone that is a half-free, half-enslaved individual. This situation could come about where a person was a slave owned by partners, by two owners, and one owner freed his holding in the slave. The other owner is left with half a slave, which in effect would mean that he would work for the owner on alternating days. So a person that is chetzio eved v'chetzio ben chorin, the Mishnah says, is obligated. The Gemara asks, Ulu Ravina di Omar, Misha chetzio eved v'chetzio ben chorin poter min Re'iyah, according to Ravina, who appears later in our Gemara, Daf Dalid, he says that someone who is a chatzi eved, chatzi ben chorin, is exempt. So, hakol asuyemai. The word hakol is coming to include as whom? Who is it that would be chayev, that is obligated? Answer, lasuye chiger biyom rishon v'nispashet biyom sheni. This concludes a person that on the first day of Yom Tov, he was lame. And we saw in the Mishnah that a person was lame on the first on Yom Tov. If he's lame all of Yom Tov, so he is exempt. He's incapable of fulfilling the pasuk that says Shalosh Regalim, that one who is capable of walking, a person who is lame, is incapable of doing so. So a person who is chiger biyom rishon, let us say someone was lame on the first day, v'nispashet biyom sheni, and his leg straightened out, it got better on the second day of Yom Tov. Well, since the holidays of Sukkot and Pesach are 7-day Yomim Tovim, so even though you were exempt on the first day, you got better on the second day, so go. As far as Shavuos is concerned, Shavuos actually, though it's a 1-day holiday, there are 6 makeup days that accompany the first day of Shavuos. So, for our purposes, what is being included in the obligation? Someone who was lame on the first day but got better on the second day. The Gemara questions this, though. He says, "Ha nicha, this explanation will be good. Lamand omar kulon tashlumin ze loze." According to the opinion that says that the subsequent days of the holiday are each one a makeup for the preceding day. So that if each subsequent day is a makeup for the preceding day, we can view each day as a, we'll say, a separate or a new obligation. And therefore, even if you weren't fit on the first day, the second day becomes a new obligation. So you're obligated, if you're better on the second day, to go and perform the mitzvah of Aliyas HaRegel. Elo laman diomar kulon tashlumin derishon. But according to the other opinion, we haven't, of course, as you can see, we haven't analyzed this issue yet. This is discussed later in the perek. But according to the other opinion that says that the makeup days are all, in effect, makeup days for the first day. In other words, if you were obligated on the first day, so then, and you didn't bring your sacrifices on the first day, so you have an opportunity to make up on the subsequent 6 days. However, if you were not obligated on the first day, then there is no obligation to make up because of the fact that on the first day you were not qualified. You were excused from the obligation. So if you hold that each subsequent day represents an opportunity to make up the obligation that you had on the first day, and if you weren't obligated on the first day, you were totally exempt, there is no element of making up. If you were not obligated on the first day. And if you were chiger b'yom rishon, if you were lame on the first day, according to this opinion, the man will remain exempt on all the subsequent days. So according to this opinion, that kulan tashlumin de rishon, hakol lasuye mai. What will the word hakol in the Mishnah coming come to include? The example that was just cited in the second triangle of chiger b'yom rishon v'nisbashi b'yom sheni, he would not be obligated. La'asuye, so the Gemara answers, it comes to include sumo ba'achas me'enov udolo ki haitanov. We're going to include a person who is blind in one eye, and as such, being that he's sighted in the other eye, he's obligated, and that is not in accordance with the following Tanaic source. So we have an idea or an example that exists. He'll be obligated, but the Gemara is pointing out it's not in conformity to the following opinion. Desanya, Yochanan ben Dehavoy Oimer Mishum Rebbe Yehuda. Yochanan says in the name of Rebbe Yehuda, Sumo ba'achas me'enov poter min ri'ah. Someone who is blind in one eye is exempt from ri'ah. Shenemar, and we have a word quoted from the Torah that in terms of the way the word appears, it could be read one way. In terms of the way it is actually read, the way it's vocalized, it's read another way. That we call, you have ksiv, is the way it appears, and the kri is the way it is read. So the word is spelled yud, resh, aleph, hey, yir'eh. However, we read that as yeh-ro'eh. And we explain this phenomenon regarding the word as follows. Kederech shebo liros, kach bo le'ro'os. As the Almighty comes to see the people who come to the Beis HaMikdash, and the Almighty is complete, he is sighted, so to speak, kivyochol, in both eyes, so too the people who come to be seen have to come only if they are sighted likewise in both eyes, even if they people that are likewise complete. Ma lirois b'shtei einov, just like the Almighty comes to see the public with his two eyes, af le ra'o, so to he who comes to be seen b'shtei einov, if he has both eyes. V'iboy esema, an alternative approach is li'oilom kide'amri me'ikorah. And take note of the fact that this is a long answer. We have a long answer marking that will take us down a several lines down the top of Omid Beis. So that we go back to an original, one of the early answers. We said at the beginning of the triangles that the word hakol was coming to include someone who was half free and half slave. We said that that approach would be difficult if you accept Ravina's thinking. So the Gemara says, Li'oilom kide amri meikora, as we said originally, Udekokashilach ha de Ravina, and if you will raise as a question Ravina's exemption for someone who is Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin, lo kashya, don't let that be a point of objection. Kan kemishna rishayna, kan kemishna achrona. The statement of Ravina indicates the early thinking on this matter. The first teaching in the Mishnayos. However, the hakul in our Mishnah that's coming to include the Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Choren is in accordance with the Kemishna Achrona, according with the latter thinking in the Mishnayos. In other words, as we will see shortly in our Gemara, there was an original thinking on the part of Beis Hillel, and then there was a change of mind. We should note that in our Mishnah there's an expression, Vavodim She'eino Mishuchorim, slaves that have not been freed. We will discover later on that that phrase means slaves that have not been completely freed. They're half slave, half free. And at that, in that section of the Mishnah, we are told that they are exempt. That represents the early thinking. Ironically, it's later in the order of the Mishnah, because the word hakol is coming to reflect the later thinking. In other words, that even if he's half free, half slave, he is actually obligated. But that is the product of a change of mind, a later thought. That's called Mishnah Achrona. So we now see how this developed. And on the side of the Gemara, we have as our Tatnos. Tat means sub-category. So we have the issue of Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chorin is now discussed. But before we get into the details, once again, the opening of the Mishnah HaKol, Chayov and Bria, comes to include the half-slave, half-freeman, Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chorin, and his obligation is the result of a later thinking on the part of Beis Hillel, as we'll see right now. This not. Misha chetzio eved v'chetzio ben chorin. Someone who is half free, half slave. Oved es rabo yom echad. He'll serve his remaining master one day. Ves asmo yom echad. And he works for himself the other day. Divrei Beis Hillel. So according to Beis Hillel, someone who is half free, half slave remains that way. And we have this work arrangement figured out. Omru lohem Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai raises an objection to Beis Hillel. And Beis Shammai continues, on the top of Omid Beis, we turn to the top of Omid Beis, Tikantem es raboi ves atzmo lo tikantem. You've fixed matters regarding the owner, the master, but you haven't fixed things regarding the slave. And what do we mean? What's missing regarding the slave? The issue that's lacking has to do with his marriage opportunities. Lisaw shivcha eino yochol. He cannot marry a bondmaid because he is half free. A free person is considered a full-fledged Jew, and a Jew is not allowed to marry a member of the slave community. A shivcha is the female version of a slave, a bondmaid. So the man who is half free, half slave, can't marry a bondmaid. Bas Chorin ain't no yochol, nor can he marry a full-fledged Jewish woman. Bas Chorin, literally a free woman, a full-fledged Jew, is not an option for him either, because half of him is slave. Livtil, well, if you suggest, let him just remain unmarried. That's not an option either. V'alo lo nivra ha'olam elo piryo v'ribya. The world was not created other than for reproduction. In other words, reproduction is a fundamental aspect of the creation of the world. Shneamar loisohu v'ra loshevis yitzorah. The world was not created to be tohu. Maybe the term tohu is familiar to you from the expression tohu vavohu. Emptiness, a void, we'll say the pre-creation state. The world was not created to remain in a void. Loshevis Yitzorah is form. Yitzorah means to be formed. It was formed for habitation, for our purposes, for procreation. So Beis Shammai continues, Ela mipnei tikun ha'olam, for the purpose of establishing the world in its proper form. Kaifen es raboi, we force the remaining master. The oisa oisa ben chorin. So the remaining master, remember we spoke about two owners and one freed his holding, the other one retained it. So that remaining master has to free his holding of the slave. The kesev lo shtara chatzi dom, of now that the slave gained his other 50% of freedom, he now owes the owner that in terms of value. There was a certain amount of value to the portion that the man, the original owner, was the remaining owner had in this slave. So the slave is now obligated to compensate the master for his release. The Chozru Beis Hillel Lahoros Kedivrei Beis Shammai. Upon hearing that argument, Beis Hillel, who was previously, we call that the Mishnah Rishona, who was previously willing to accept a continued status of Chatzi Evin, Chatzi Ben Chorin, half free, half slave, they now, Beis Hillel concedes to Beis Shammai that that is an intolerable situation, and if you run into someone that's half free, half slave, his freedom, his total freedom is inevitable, and as a result, we can already obligate him in Aliyas HaRegel as if he were already totally free, because as we said, his freedom is inevitable. And Beis Hillel accepts that argument, the argument of Beis Shammai, and hence when the Mishnah opens with the word HaKol Chayav Bria, we're coming to include someone who, though right now he still hasn't been totally freed, his freedom is inevitable. He is now obligated to do the mitzvah of Aliyas HaRegel. Before we continue in the Gemara, we glance at the side where we have a Nosei topic heading, and we note the following. The issue dealt with is called the issue of Chiresh, a deaf mute. When we speak about a deaf mute, we talk about someone who is legamri, hence the term deaf mute. He's incapable of hearing, and he's also incapable of speech. That's why we say legamri is completely chereish. There's another situation of a medaber vieno shomea, and a shomea vieno medaber. Someone who is who's capable of speech, he's not a mute, but he's deaf, eino shomea, doesn't hear. And the opposite will also be featured in our Gemara. Someone who is shomea, he has the power of hearing, but the enosh medaber is incapable of speech. He would be called a mute in our terms. So now we continue with the Gemara. Chutz mecheri shetz v'kodin, this was featured in the Mishnah, where there is an exemption from Aliyas HaRegel on the part of a cheresh shaitin koton. Kotoni cheresh dumya de shaita v'koton. The Mishnah uses the term cheresh in the context or together with a shaita and a koton. Ma shaita v'koton delav b'nei de'a. Just like an imbecile and a minor are people that lack das, they, for our purposes, for our current discussion, we will say they completely lack das. Das, it has to do with awareness, knowledge, intellect. They're lacking they're lacking the minimum amount of intellect to be considered obligated in mitzvos. That's as far as a shoita and koton are concerned. Af cheresh delav bar deahu. So too the cheresh that's mentioned in context is someone who is not a ben das. He is lacking the minimum amount of intellect required. The kamash malon kidisnan, and our Mishnah tells us as is taught in the following Tanaic source, cheresh shedibru chachomim b'chomokom. The cheresh that the chachomim, that the sages refer to in all places, where the sages refer to the exemption from mitzvos, that is she'enoi shomea v'enoi medaber. He is someone who lacks both capabilities. He lacks the capacity of hearing, and as well as lacking the capacity of speech. We glance at Rashi in the upper part of the narrow lines. Cheresh shedibru bo chachom v'chomokom shehishvu oisoi, the cheresh that the sages compared to l'shoita l'fotro, to exempt him, lo dibru ela b'mi she'enoi she'mea v'enoi medaber. Hachi kim luhu l'rabbonan. Thusly, the rabbonan know, they have knowledge, de mi she'enoi she'mea v'enoi medaber d'lav b'nei de'oninu. Someone who is incapable of hearing and of speech is classified as someone who is lacking the minimum required intellect in order to be obligated in mitzvahs. Now, we can infer from this, though, Ha-medaber ve'yaynoi shoymeya, or shoymeya ve'yaynoi medaber chayov. If he has one of these two characteristics, he is capable of speech, but not hearing, or capable of hearing, though not capable of speech, he would be obligated. Now, when we speak about someone who is medaber ve'eino shomea, he's capable of speech, but not capable of hearing, Rashi points out, medaber ve'eino shomea tchiloso yapikach. In fact, in the beginning, he was of sound mind. He was okay. He was healthy. Ad shelomad medaber ledaber, until he was capable, he was normal, up till the point he was learned to speak. V'achakach, after he had learned to speak, nischarish, he lost his capacity of hearing. So people like this that are medaber v'in shemer, shemer v'in medaber, are chayev. Tanino leha detonu rabbanan. We have, therefore, the say a reference in our Mishnah to that which is taught in the following brisa. Rashi points out as follows: Tanino b'masnisin. We have that which is taught in the Mishnah leha detonu rabbanan b'brisa. V'lamadnu shabrisa zos ikur v'samchan olal. This is an expression you find throughout the Shas. Interestingly, Rashi doesn't explain this expression very often. Here you see he does. Tanino laha detana rabbanan, once again, is a situation where you have a brisa, which is called additional Tanaic literature, beyond that which Rebbe Yehuda Hanossi himself had edited. There are different contributors to the brisa literature. And it's of value to us to know that a particular brisa is reputable, is authoritative. What kind of brisa is seen to be authoritative? It's that kind of brisa for whom you can find support in a Mishnah. This particular area is broader than that which I'm presenting to you right now. But as far as the expression Tanino laha detana rabbanan, that which we said is relevant. So what is taught in the following brisa? Hamedaber v'eino shomea, one who is capable of speech but incapable of hearing, zehu cheresh, he is called a cheresh. Notice, and this could be confusing to many, the word cheresh is flexible. In our Mishnah, we just proved, since Cheresh is taught in the context of Shaita V'Katan, he is incapable of both hearing and speech. Here you see the term Cheresh used as someone who is capable of speech, but simply lacks hearing. He is called Cheresh. Shoymeya v'eino medaber, zehu ilaim. Someone who is capable of hearing but simply lacks the capacity of speech, he is called Elaim. Elaim, in English, we would say a mute. Ze veze harei hein kepikhin lechol devrayan. Both of these are considered of pikhin, of sound mind, of sound intellect, or sufficient intellect to be obligated in mitzvos. Rashi, notice, zev zek kepichin haynu kemasnisin, the lo potar elo cheresh adoy melushoita. We made reference just a couple, two lines up, to the tanino laha detana rabbanan. So you see here that tanino means we were taught in our Mishnah, and what were we taught in our Mishnah? That only a cheresh who is lacking both powers, power of speech and power of hearing, only he is exempt. But the other kinds of people, those that have one of these two powers, they are in fact obligated, and that is in accordance with our Mishnah. At this point, the Gemara analyzes the terms featured in this brisa, cheresh, as referring to someone who is lacking hearing, and the term ilaim, someone who is lacking speech. How does the brisa know to attach these words to these characteristics. From where do we know that someone who is capable of speech but incapable of hearing is called by the term chirish? And likewise, shomea v'eino medaber, someone who hears but cannot speak, zehu ilaim. The word ilaim is appropriate for him. The Gemara answers, dichtiv. The pasuk says, vani kechirish lo eshma, ucheilaim lo yiftach piv. The chirish in this pasuk is described as someone who what? Who cannot hear. Might be able to speak, but he cannot hear. And in ilaim, he's described as someone who cannot open his mouth. He cannot speak. That's what he cannot do, but he can hear. V'iboyasema, another approach to the issue of ilaim being someone incapable of speech, kid'amri inshi, as people say, a common saying, ishtakil milulei. So that the word ilaim is in effect an abbreviation of these two words. Ishtakl means something that was removed. Milulei, a power of speech. So the aleph, you see ishtakel, aleph. And milulei, you can see there's a lamed and a mem there. The aleph, lamed mem, equaling ilaim. Medaber v'eino shomea, shomea v'eino medaber chayav. We pointed that out earlier, that someone who is capable of speech and not capable of hearing, or capable of hearing and not capable of speech, is obligated. This was in fact inferred from the Tanaic source quoted earlier, where was a source that the Gemara mentioned, Cheresh Shedibu Chachamim B'chol Mokom. So we inferred from that this particular point. And now we ask the Hotanya, but do we not have a Tanaic source that says the opposite? Medaber v'eino shomea, shomea v'eino medaber poter, that someone who has only one of the two powers is exempt. Omar Ravina v'temo Rova. Ravina in some versions have Rova answering chisure mechasra v'hochi katani. The Tanaic source is abbreviated, and thusly, you should understand it. And now you can see we have a framed section with a, say, a restatement of the Tanaic source. Hakol chayovim b'riyah u'besimcha. Everyone is obligated in the mitzvah of ri'iyah and the mitzvah of simcha. And the concept of simcha is that which is obligated by the Torah when it comes to the three holidays. So everyone is obligated in these mitzvahs of appearing in the Beis HaMikdash with korbanos and the obligation of simcha, literally having to do with joy. Chutz micheresh hamedaber v'eino shomea, shomea v'eino medaber, with the exception of these kind of people, someone who is a cheresh, meaning someone who can speak but cannot hear, or someone who hears but cannot speak, shepoter min horia. They are exempt. So the brisa that we just saw, it was speaking about an exemption for these people that have only one of the two powers. They are exempt from ri'iyah. V'afa pisha potem min ri'iyah chayav b'simcha. And even though they are exempt from ri'iyah, they are nevertheless obligated in simcha. And we saw that as well when we inferred from the source above. We said that a medaber v'shomea, and a shomer and a medaber is obligated, they are obligated in simcha. The es she'eino loy shemea v'loy medaber, someone who lacks both powers, fish shoyte v'katan, and an imbecile and a minor, potter af min simcha. They are exempt not only from Mia, but even from simcha as well. Ha'ilu f'turim mikol mitzvos amuros b'torah, since they are in fact exempt from all mitzvahs in the Torah. So what we have seen till this point is our Mishnah that spoke about a cheresh being exempt, there was total exemption from Riyah and from Simcha. We saw a source that spoke about the cheresh hamedaber v'ena shemeh, shemeh v'ena medaber, a person had one of the two powers, as being obligated, he's obligated in Simcha. A source that spoke about those people that have one of the two powers as being exempt, that is a reference to their exemption from Re'iya. Tanyo Nami Hochi. And we have a Tanaic source that bears this rereading in a Brisa form. Hakol Chayovim B'riya V'Simcha. Everyone is obligated in both mitzvahs. Chuz of Riya, coming to the Beis Hamikdash with the Korbonos, and Simcha, the obligation to experience joy throughout the holiday period. Chutz Micheresh HaMedaber V'Einu Shomea, Shomea V'Einu Medaber, with the exception of these kind of people that have one of the two powers, Sheptur Minira, they are exempt from the actual obligation of bringing sacrifices into the Beis Hamikdash. The Afal Pi Shepotam Re'iyah, even though they are exempt from that mitzvah, the mitzvah of Re'iyah, we continue at the top of Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, Chayov B'Simcha. They are obligated in the mitzvah of Simcha. Rashi says at the top, L'smoach b'chag d'chtiv v'somach b'chagecha. The obligation of experiencing pleasure or joy during a holiday, as the Pasuk indicates. V'amrin l'kamon, later on Daf Ches, the simcha is accomplished through the eating of meat. And most often the meat referred to is meat that one has as a result of offering shlomim sacrifices. The alfina law means vezavachta shlomim vechavta shom vesamachta. And later on, the Gemara will ask, "L'kamen porach ma'ishna linyan riyah depoter linyan simcha mechayev." Why do we make this distinction regarding these people that they are exempt from riyah, but nevertheless they are obligated in simcha? So now we continue with the Gemara. Top line, third word on the top line, v'es she'enoi. Someone who cannot hear nor speak, they are exempt even from simcha, since they are in fact they are exempt from all mitzvahs in the Torah. The Torah addresses itself to people who have a minimum amount of intellect. These people are lacking that minimum amount, and hence they are exempt. The very next section of Gemara will deal with this question of why is it that people that have only one of the two powers, either only hearing or only speech, lacking the other, why are they in fact exempt from Re'iyah? And the Gemara will go on to tell us that exemption is learned through a comparison, scriptural comparison, word comparison in Psukim from the mitzvah of Hakel. Mirza Shem in our next year, so we'll get involved with that issue. Before we conclude, though, let us remind you that if you wish to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.